Hello, and welcome to Autistically Unapologetic, the unfiltered and unmasked podcast about everything autism. Here's your host, Devin Morrissey.
Hello, and welcome to Autistically Unapologetic with me, Devin Morrissey. I would like to officially welcome everyone to episode 12, where I will be focusing on a topic that is very important to me and hits so close to home. Growing up on the autism spectrum, many of us actually want to connect with people and enjoy social interactions, but have found it difficult to build and maintain relationships with people. Now, studies have shown that autistic people are 4 times more likely to be lonely than neurotypicals, and a high percentage of autistic individuals, as many as 79%, have reported feelings of social isolation. One of the factors that causes isolation is, in fact, bullying. Now, as we all know, bullying is known as repeated and intentional hurting of one person or group by another person or group, where that relationship involves an imbalance of power. Statistics have shown that more than 75% of the autism population have experienced bullying in their lifetime. This toxic exposure of bullying can lead to depression, anxiety, and increased risk of self-harm or suicidal thoughts. Now, a lot of people may not know this, but both topics are very serious and important to me, as I have experienced severe bullying and isolation growing up on the spectrum. Both factors have led me to psychological issues such as depression, anxiety, and PTSD, and I've always been curious to better understand similar experiences. And I was so inspired and impressed of how a current and fellow Love on the Spectrum US cast member, like my next guest, has been able to be so open and honest about growing up with similar experiences like me. This next guest and his mother are going to be joining me and talk about not only his time on the recently released second season of the show, but also talk about his life experiences growing up and how his life has now changed as a result of his time on the show. It is an absolute privilege and honor to welcome him to the podcast. Please welcome to Autistically Unapologetic, Connor Tomlinson.
Hey, you guys, how are you?
Well, thank you for having me, Devin.
I first and foremost just want to start off by saying, Connor, happy early birthday. It does not go unnoticed. I know. Well, it's another year around the sun. Well, first and foremost, Connor, I just wanted to tell you that I am so happy that you and your mom are on this particular episode. I don't know if I have told you this, but out of all the journeys that I've watched this season, I really connected with yours the most for various different reasons. And I really applaud you for coming on and using your platform to talk about your life, because I know that it's not easy to open up, especially in front of millions of people that are now watching you around the world. So I'm just so happy that you and your mom get to join me on this episode today. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Thanks for having us. Yeah, we're ready.
Okay, awesome. So I first wanted to just to start off by asking, when were you first diagnosed autistic, and when did you find out that you were autistic? What was your reaction to that?
Well, I think I was first diagnosed at, I was 6, maybe younger.
Like 5.
I was
5 years old.
Yeah.
Wow. And how did you...
When did you find out? Because we didn't tell you at 5.
It was when I was 11.
Anna and I took you.
Yeah. My parents took me to the original Pancake House.
Ooh.
They told me why I was able to do what I do when I get excited or do movie quotes perfectly. It was because I had Asperger's syndrome. It was a kind of autism, the same kind that Albert Einstein actually had.
Yes.
So, when he first got diagnosed, you know, he was 5, and we were more just really wanting to get interventions for Connor so that he could, you know, and give him the support he needed to be successful and reach his potential. That was our first goal. And then we really just kind of went head down doing that sort of thing. And it was when his younger siblings were noticed the differences in behaviors. And they came to me and wanted to, why does Connor do that? Why this or that? And the younger ones were noticing. And I just thought to myself and brought his dad into the conversation that there's no way I can tell them he's yes. diagnosed with this without giving him the dignity and respect of telling him first. Mm-hmm. So we made it our mission to take him, and we went to breakfast. And then we let Connor, this was cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You tell Devin that part?
What did I say?
We let Connor tell his siblings. We sat everybody
down,
and Connor presented the news to them.
Yeah.
We thought that was best.
Mm-hmm. Aww. See, that is one of the most heartwarming things I've ever heard. And ironically enough, I just realized this because as you're talking, I found out that I was autistic because I was diagnosed at 3. So I was diagnosed very early on, but I was actually right around Connor's age when I found out. It was a little bit different. Yeah, 25. Right around. No, I was 11 or 12 when I found out that I was autistic by my parents. They had known for years, but I think they were trying to figure out just how to tell me that I was autistic. And it was a lot to take in at first because some of it made sense, but I was just kind of like, wait, what does this all mean? Why am I like this? So it kind of took some time to figure that out, but I'm in the same position as you because I have a younger sister as well. And so trying to explain that to her was not the easiest, especially when you're trying to figure out, okay, it makes sense with the movie quotes. It makes sense, you know, with the sometimes struggling to read the social cues and all that, which I still have a problem with at the age of 30. But, you know, I get it. I was in that same position as you. And to see you being able to present that to your siblings, I'm like, wow, I wish I had that chance to present that to my younger sister. But I don't think I was ready like you were. So I give you mad props for that because I could have not done that.
You did a great job. And I think because Connor, too, had a lot of physical and still do. Like you like to gallop and jump and he needs to do things. And that was some of the things that they were questioning. And he was able to explain, like, I do this because I need to. And you could kind of give the why behind it, which, you know, we couldn't. So who better? Once we felt comfortable that he understood. Do you also, I thought his initial reaction when we told him, you said this earlier, you said you felt scared for a second. Like you thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to expand on that?
Refresh my memory. Scared of what?
Remember you said, when we told you said for a second, you thought, wait, is this a disease? Didn't you tell me that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I was in that same boat as well. I was so scared figuring out, like, wait, what's going on? Can you elaborate on, like, what you were, like, the disease comment, Connor? Because I'm actually kind of curious to hear about that.
I actually thought I was sick or dying or something.
I felt the same way, Connor. I really did. So I'm in that. I know exactly where you're coming from with that. So another fun fact that I actually had a chance to learn about you is that you actually have English ancestry, or in other words, you have roots from England. Can you share a little bit more about that? Because that was something I was just like, wait, what?
Well, my dad, that is actually from England. He came over in the 1990s.
Whoa. So have you ever been to England, to London, across the pond?
I have.
Wow.
I actually went to London. I had fish and chips there.
Delicious.
Oh.
They go great with ketchup. Mm.
I like dipping the french fries in mayonnaise. I know that's weird. Oh,
no. Oh, no. My girlfriend loves to dip her french fries with ranch. It is the best.
I do that with pizza sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
I know. No, and it's funny, though, too, because people will be like, who puts ranch in pizza? And I'm just like, the best people do, for goodness sake.
Smart people do.
Exactly. So, Connor.
He was in England December of 2022, I think, was our last time there.
Yep.
Oh, wow. So you got the chance to, what was that like being there? Because that was when I think the Queen just passed, didn't she?
Yeah. The fact that King Charles has recently been diagnosed with cancer only makes the sadness worse.
I know. No, it's like he's been waiting his whole life to take over the crown, and then all of a sudden this happens. I'm like, dang, this is really sad. I actually been to London once. I think it was maybe 5-7 years ago. It was like right during the Trooping of the Colour. And so to see everyone come out of the Buckingham Palace, you're just almost like, it's almost like you're a little chicken just staring at the mother hen just in awe. You're like,
now it's beautiful.
It's amazing.
It's a beautiful culture. It's really fun. And yeah. What's your favorite thing that we did on our last trip?
Well, I think it was getting to sing with my granddad and his choir.
Oh, are you a big singer, Connor?
Well, I don't like to brag about it, but yeah, I'm pretty good. But I usually just do it for myself.
You know what? I'm in that same boat as well. I will only sing in front of my girlfriend when needed necessary.
I sometimes sing with my dad adding car rides.
Oh.
Yeah, I know, because I've been seeing some of the YouTube videos that you guys have posted about your car rides, and I'm like, oh, I need to hear Connor sing more on those car rides. That would be awesome to hear.
We could do that. He's usually frustrated with me because I'm getting him to work late.
Carpool karaoke with Connor. I love it. That's like the logo right there. So Connor, I actually wanted to ask you for my next question about what life was like around other kids for you. I don't know if you know this, but as I mentioned earlier, I really connected with you while watching the season because we share very similar experiences growing up in terms of being bullied at school and feeling lonely and isolated with little to no friends. And so I know exactly what you've gone through in terms of that. And so if it's okay with you, could you maybe share a little bit about that?
Well, growing up, I was a bit socially awkward. Right? I mean, I didn't know how to make friends or how to talk to people. Usually I got nervous around, I mean, before I came to terms and fully accepted it as I do today, I wasn't really comfortable around people of different diversities. But after learning about the many countries and places those people come from, to me, meet them is actually quite fascinating.
So the things you were unfamiliar with were scary to you. So you were,
yes.
Is that what you mean? It was just, yes, like anything that was like that. And then talk maybe about, you said you were socially awkward and had a hard time connecting. So for example, lunchrooms in school.
Yeah.
Was that a time where?
Yeah, I just, it was pretty loud, pretty chaotic. So I just ate a loaf. Oh, because it was quieter.
And I know because his younger siblings were quite close in age to him, and they would say that he was often alone in the lunchroom, or even like, how about maybe go back to elementary school, like recess time. Did you play with other kids or were you by yourself?
I usually played by myself. I spent time with friends.
How did you connect with them?
Usually on the swings or on the slides.
Okay. The biggest thing I think for us when we were going through elementary, middle, was that we would throw these grandiose parties. This is something that just sticks with me as a parent because, mm-hmm, you know, he has three younger siblings who were socially connected and going to friends' houses and getting, yeah, invited on half days to go to lunch or go have friends over back and forth. And the phone never really rang for Connor. And I think what we would do to try to attract kids, because, you know, you'd go and kids would, you know, you'd visit classrooms for like a, you know, you'd have an event at school, like a book reading, and parents would come in and you would see kids, you know, weren't outright mean, but nobody was really connecting or inviting him. So we would throw these giant parties, invite every kid in the class, and everyone, you know, not everyone would come, but a lot would come, get the goodie bag, and then he never got another birthday invitation to go anywhere else. And I know other kids were having birthdays. So it was things like that.
Yeah.
That, I don't speak for you. I don't know how you felt, but as a parent.
Yeah, it was pretty hard.
Yeah. Lise, my heart broke when I heard that you said that Connor had to transfer schools. That really hit close to home for me, as I was on the verge of actually doing that in high school. Can you elaborate, like, what prompted that decision?
It was middle school. It was beginning of the eighth grade year.
Yeah.
And he was in a computer lab class. And if something like, I don't know, usually the layout of the classroom, like there's the computers were here, there's glass and the teacher. So I think the teacher would float from where his desk was. I don't know. Anyway, these kids kind of saw that they could trigger him by, I think they were, you know, I'm just going to say what they were bullying. They were calling him homosexual or gay. I don't know what they were doing, but they were just.
I'm not.
If people are, that's fine. It's just these particular kids could see this was a. And once Connor was giving them some reaction, but it became this one little band of kids. That's the first thing that kicked off. And then that class became an issue. I remember reaching out to the teachers, the administrators, and then it was just this same group of kids were just constantly over the next few weeks and months making his life of just hell at school. And I just remember thinking I wasn't getting the assistance from the school, the administrators. No. And I just thank God his stepdad and I had just met and started dating, but he was super connected to Connor, loved Connor. And he was like, you know, just sorry for the length. He's like, this is bullshit. And, you know, we gotta get him somewhere where it's just accepted and loved. And we found a small private school and we just put him there. And he finished eighth grade there, happy as Larry, didn't you? You loved that school.
Who the hell is Larry?
But happy as a clam. How about that? And you know, I don't know academically. I think academically he did regress. I don't want to name the school because I just don't want to, like, you know.
Yeah.
You know, people actually, you know, before I graduated, people had doubts that I ever wore.
Yeah. So that was the other thing. So he regressed a little bit that eighth grade year academically, but I felt emotionally and as a human, we saved him.
And yet against all
odds, definitely I still
got my diploma.
And I mean, out of eighth grade, then we did take the plunge. We decided, because it gets expensive.
Yeah.
And that's real. So we said, let's try high school, right? You wanted to try your public high school.
Yeah.
What do you say about high school though?
Those were the, I can only say, those were the best 4 years of my life.
So high school was a positive experience for Connor. It was the middle school years that were rough for us.
Yeah, but when I look back at that letter, I was writing to myself for senior year. I thought that I would earn my dream job and become a blacksmith, a modern day blacksmith. But not a big market for that. Now that I think about that letter, I think back to my freshman self, and I think poor bum had so much hope.
I think you're doing pretty well, Connor. Yeah.
Yes, I have to agree with your mom. Connor, you are a very special young man, and I need a middle. Whew, okay. I went through very, very, very similar experiences to what you went through, Connor, in terms of not accepting myself for the longest time, and with having to deal with the kids at school that said these awful, meaningful things, like the things that you know you're dealing with. And for me, being autistic, I masked all the way through kindergarten through high school, and things got pretty bad from the time that I was in sixth grade all the way up to my sophomore year. I didn't really love myself at that time or fully accept myself at that time because of what the kids were saying. And it was and I chose another way of dealing with that. Whereas with what your mom did, she got you out of that environment, which was the right decision, where I should have done that. And I just applaud you both. I really, really, really do. Because it is, those years are extremely hard to find out about yourself. But, you know,
and Devin, I just want to chime in here. For you guys going through those years, it's a time where you're physically, your bodies are changing. You're going through puberty. Yeah. I mean, there's neurodivergent autism, everybody on the spectrum, everybody. Your bodies are physically changing, and that's confusing enough.
Yeah,
there's, you know, you need deodorant, you get hair places. You know, it's like you just you're already changing, and you're maybe starting to notice girls or get attracted to other people, and those feelings are overwhelming and confusing. Everybody should just be kind to each other, and this time where it's like. And then when you get that wolf pack of kids and they smell a little weakness or they see if somebody acting different and it makes them uncomfortable, so they go toward, I mean, Connor scripts out loud to himself a lot. Mm-hmm. And doesn't need you to engage with him. So if kids are seeing him talk to himself and do impressions and faces and, you know, they're making fun of him. And that's the kind of thing where, you know, we just, that's where it got difficult. And again, he's physically going through changes, hormones are changing, and it just, his behaviors escalated. And, you know, it was just becoming an issue. And like I said, you know, I'm a firm believer with a lot of things in life. We can't always run away. You kind of have to face things. If there's a coworker you don't like to work with, you got to deal with it. There's a manager, a teacher, a coach, you got to find a way through it. But when I felt like his emotional health was being threatened, I'm like, we're out of here, you know?
Yeah. And I 100% applaud you for doing that and taking that step. Because
I have to shout out to his stepdad, because he wasn't his stepdad at the time. That man just kind of saved us, you know, both of us.
Thanks
a lot, Tony. Thank you, Tony.
And shout out to Tony. You a real one. What I loved about your journey, Connor, is the fact that you went from, you know, feeling like you were an outcast and now watching you be so loved by people around the world, and to then watch you get together with Tanner and Kaylin in South Carolina, that tugged at my heartstrings, because we have a lot of cast get-togethers in LA, and I felt very bad for the people that weren't in California, that weren't in Los Angeles, that were able to get together with us. So to watch all of you three get together, I'm just like, this is what I was hoping that the show would do, is bring them together and get them to bond more, you know? And so to watch that happen, and we're going to get into that, but just, it just makes my heart sore, just because even though you didn't walk away with love, you walked away with a family and a whole lot of friends and a whole lot of fans. And to me, that speaks more volumes than just finding a girlfriend.
Yeah, that's true. I'm sorry, I forgot what I was saying.
About Tanner or friends?
Tanner, he was a great guy. He was nice enough to invite us to the hotel where he works at.
That's where we met with Kaylin. And then this week, we were hosting Tanner in Atlanta.
Yes. I was just about to actually ask that. Tell me a little bit about that, because I know that you guys went to the aquarium out of all places. Yeah,
but not only that, we managed to get a backstage tour behind the
scenes. You're kidding.
It's really cute, Devin. They call it behind the scenes. Instead of behind the scenes. I was like, I'm down for a good pun or a play on words all the time. So it was behind the scenes, but oh my God.
I mean, let me tell you, I had never seen a whale shark or a manta ray up close before.
Oh my God.
Usually they're supposed to be. But then I just remembered whale sharks are the length of a bus, not.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just so cool. I mean, the Georgia Aquarium hosted us. They were amazing. Connor and Tanner were great. The enthusiasm that Tanner brings into any room.
Oh, contagious.
Instant happiness. If you could be in the worst mood and you stand next to Tanner Smith, you're fine. And then what was cool is Tanner brings the enthusiasm and the joy to the room.
Yeah.
And then Connor's following right behind like a little professor teaching him
all. I know Earth systems. I took it two years in a row. Well, not in a row, but I did take it twice. So I know a lot about animals.
Oh my gosh, no, animals. And shout out to Tanner, by the way, if you're watching or listening, shout out to Tanner. You are Southern class, and I think my girlfriend is going to ask for your help on trying to teach me some manners. I'm just going to say that right now.
He's the real deal. And his mother, Nikki, is just, he is, to me, as beautiful as he is because of that woman. I don't know the rest of the family, but that lady's the real deal, too.
Oh, absolutely. Shout out to Nikki as well. So
yes.
My next question for you, Connor, is how has growing up for you with all the obstacles and challenges that were thrown your way, how have they shaped you into the man that you are now?
I getting hurt did make me angry at times, but things can hurt. But the way most people see it, some people can see it. When faced with adversity, you're angered by it, you can either let that anger consume you, run from it, or learn from it. I chose learn.
Absolutely. I think that you set an amazing example for how people go through things, but you learn it and you apply it into your life. And I got to give you a clap for that, because it's something that I'm still learning at 30 years old, and I'm still learning about that. But you serve such an inspiration for all of us also on the spectrum to, learn from life experiences and move forward.
I think, too, the perseverance that this young gentleman has is second to none of what I've seen. And it's like, I think, and it's, I go to this scene in the show, the panic attack. And I know we've talked about it, and I know that was real. And honestly, my takeaway from that was when they called me and they said, hey, he's having a moment here. I'm not going to lie, Devin, I've never known you to have that level of a panic attack before. Mm-hmm. When I heard his voice, I wish I could have jumped through the phone and grabbed him. I could hear something in his voice I hadn't heard. And we talked it through. And to me, as scared as he was, he went back in. And it's the perseverance.
Yes.
And I've seen it. I did a TikTok and I showed a picture of him rock climbing at a little camp.
He didn't want really? To
climb that rock. And there, I have a small TikTok out there about it. But
I knew I had to, so I did.
He did.
In the words of John Wayne, courage is not the absence of fear; it's being scared to death, but saddling up anyway.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love that. And speaking of the show, I'm actually really curious to talk to you about this. So for those of you out there that have been living under a rock, Love on the Spectrum is an Australian reality TV show surrounding the lives of autistic individuals as they encounter love, dating, relationships, you name it. Now, it premiered on Netflix about 5 years ago, followed by the American version, Love on the Spectrum US, 2 years ago. Now, Connor, did you get a chance to watch any of the seasons prior? And if so, what were your thoughts?
Well, I did. I first began with the Australian version. And one of my major, or I think you could say, role models or influences in the show was Michael.
Yes. Mr. A plus. Yes, the legend, the goat himself.
The man.
I actually spoke with both Michael and James recently.
Wait, you got to connect with James?
It was an Instagram Live on Love on the
Spectrum. Oh, yes.
Quotes. Love on the Spectrum quotes. Skylar hosted James and invited Connor and Michael on. I was fangirling all over Michael. And James. I love James, too. But Michael was like, and I love Michael's mom.
Yes.
Very supportive.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely. And Michael and the entire Australian cast, they put the show on the map. They did. We would not be here even doing this podcast right now if it weren't for Michael and the entire Australian cast. And so you were introduced to the world on the second season of the show. So how were you approached to be on the second season of Love on the Spectrum US?
Well, my brother Jack sent a TikTok to Kian, a tweet.
He did?
Yeah. And Kian replied back saying he'd be interested in getting to know me.
Oh my gosh. So your brother kind of got the whole thing together. That's amazing.
Yep.
Shout out to Jack. You a real brother.
He just, it was when it was still Twitter, he tweeted Kian. And, you know, and actually dropped our YouTube channel link in the tweet, which was, it's really, YouTube channel was there just for family and friends and to kind of vlog what wealth of knowledge I get to get every day before 7 o'clock in the morning. And, it was really just there for a laugh for our family and friends. And Jack put the link there. And I think that they did think that you were pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, Connor is amazing. I mean, look at how he was on this past season. He was a star. My God.
I had my fears because I knew that happened and I knew they filmed it. And I had, you know, we don't get any say about the final cut.
You really don't, so no. I really don't.
I had my concerns about that being out there and just not to, but you know what? We trust Kian and Norman.
Yes.
And it is well-placed trust because he did it in such a way of dignity and respect, but also showing real raw emotion.
Yes.
But I feel like that's also why a lot of people connect with Connor, because I think a lot of us have panic attacks.
Yep.
And that was real. And it was just so amazing to see him be able to reach out, put his hand up, say, I need a minute, take the minute, and then saddle back up.
Yeah.
I still have panic attacks every now and then, so I know the feeling when you have to step out and just be like, you know what, this environment, I just need a break from it. I'm going to come back, but just let me step out and just take care of me for a second. And so I couldn't be more proud of you for actually taking the high road and being like, hey, this is a little bit overwhelming for me. This is stimulating. This is like a sensory overload. I just need to step out for a second and take care of me. And I'm just like, you go, Connor. You let them know. So what was it like to have Netflix and Northern Pictures follow you as you re-entered the world of, or you entered the world of dating? Because this was the first time that you ever dated, right?
Yeah, it was.
Wow. So what was that like to have, like, the TV cameras and microphone equipment and all that follow you? Because I know what that's been like. I did this for 2 seasons. That's a supporting cast member. And wasn't it intimidating to have that happen?
I mean, yeah, it was. I mean, it was also exhausting at times, but if you believe me, it was worth it.
Oh, I believe you, Connor. I believe you 100%. But what was that like, though? What was actually your favorite part about shooting season 2? There had to have been a lot.
Yeah, I think the best part was the dog walk I went on with Emily. No doubt if you saw the series, is you saw something rather unexpected happen.
Naughty Chewy. My dog Chewy and Ben when they first met.
Mom, I don't think we need to know this.
I know. We can gloss over that.
Oh, no. I actually remember watching that now and just watching them. I'm like, ooh, well, hello.
But I freaked out that you saw a snake.
A snake? Oh, right. In
the I would have, now that's when I would have been like, bye. See you later.
I mean, oh my God, that's brilliant.
There's a little trick to identifying snakes. If red touches yellow, you're a dead fellow. If red touches black, you're okay, Jack. I mean, if it were a cobra or a black mamba, I'd be panicking.
No, dude.
Oh, I know.
No, I would see snake and I'd be out of there, Jack. That'd be me.
You're like, well.
Bite. In fact, not all of them are harmful. I mean, some of them do constrict, but.
I don't care. I'm a leader.
You're like, I'm out of here. I ain't coming back, Jack.
I used to be horrified of snakes, but I found something. I used to be terrified of snakes, but.
Really?
I'm actually a lot more scared of spiders.
Ooh.
Although he is the resident bug killer in our house.
Mm-hmm. I, you know what? I share the same thing with that in my family.
I don't enjoy it.
You do?
I know. You're just kind of like, I really have to kill these bugs again. Why can't you just kill them yourself? It's that easy.
Exactly. We big, they small.
I know. I got to get you a 5 for that one, Connor. We do things for our family, like taking care of those pesky bugs. We do that.
So the dog walk was your favorite part? That's cool to learn.
Yes. And what I loved about that, it was like the dogs getting a chance to bond. And so also curious, like, how have things turned out between you and Emily? Like, are you guys friends still?
Yeah,
or
we're
how's that been?
Friends. We're just friends now.
Oh, yay. I heard that you guys had the chance to go to a medieval feast. How was that for you guys?
Times. It was fun watching a jousting tournament.
It was. Emily is just such an amazing young woman. So smart. Here's what's a fun fact about Emily that I just am so proud of her.
Mm-hmm.
Fluent in Japanese.
Yes.
Fluent Japanese takes years to master.
She's brilliant. She's smart. Wow. She's adorable. She, I love that she keeps Connor, like, she'll text and invite him out to things. And it's just a solid friend. And they decided, I think, before Christmas that it was just turning into a friendship. But I'm like, we'll take the W there. That's a win all day long.
Yes.
She is good people.
Yeah. Oh, no. I could tell Emily's sincerity on the show. And I was just like, you know what? If they don't work out, there's a friendship brewing right then and there on the surface. Okay. And to see that happen, it's just like, oh, that's a win in itself.
We agree.
Definitely.
It's a win in itself. So the second season of the show premiered back in January to a massive audience reaction. It has been in the top 10 most watched Netflix television shows for several weeks around the world. What was your reaction to the success of the second season?
I didn't think I could be such an influence on a global scale. I mean, I've had calls from all over the world, from as far as the West Coast to the East Coast to the UK, to Western and Eastern Europe,
mm-hmm.
from Northern to Southern to South Africa.
Yeah.
Really?
I've never met anybody from South Africa save on a Zoom call.
Wow.
But I gotta say, I am curious to see what's down there. I heard a lot of stuff about it. Well, mind you, not all of them good, but I'm sure the city of Johannesburg isn't so bad.
I'm sure it's beautiful country.
Yes.
I think you've been floored by the global attention, haven't you? And everybody reaching
out. Besides, that the women in South Africa are pretty cute.
Get yourself a woman from there. I love that. And especially hearing Bradley Cooper saying that he was a massive fan of the show. I was just like, oh,
like Bradley would. Were alive.
Yes.
Bradley Cooper.
Your notes were alive.
You know, one of my coworkers, Vicky, an elderly woman, she loves Bradley Cooper. She really does.
Who doesn't?
Yeah. I mean, the guy's a legend.
But that's when we were all in there, like, Bradley Cooper knows we exist. Wait a minute.
Yes. course. He knows who you are, Connor, which is absolutely incredible. It's and Carey Mulligan, too, when you think of it. It's amazing. So as one of the main cast members, you are easily recognizable. And I mean beyond easily recognizable from the show. What has been one of your favorite fan interactions?
Well, seeing people of my work or saying they love me on the show. There was one time at Target, one employee approached me while I was in, was looking at the books. She asked for a selfie. I was happy to oblige.
That's awesome.
It's crazy. We were at the Georgia Aquarium earlier this week. And people would see either Tanner or Connor first, and they were like, "Are you Tanner or Connor?" And then like, "Wait, you're they're like they're together." You know, it was cute. It was really cute. Like, they're together.
Oh. You know, I'm not going to lie. I so, so wish that you and Tanner and your families were with all of us when we were all at the Aquarium of the Pacific in Los Angeles. Wow. It was all of us with Abby, David, Sabota, Danny, and all of our families. And you guys would have loved it. It's massive. It is huge. There were penguins. There were fishies all over the place. I mean, you guys would have totally stolen the show.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah, but a quick question. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like the penguin exhibit at our aquarium, but are there any aquariums that have, say, I don't know, emperor penguins?
I would have to ask the Aquarium of the Pacific about that. I think they do, but I would probably have to ask them the next time that we're there.
I actually like emperor penguins.
We could Google that, maybe. My
oh, no. Emperor penguins are amazing. They just, you know.
Are they have the ones that look like they have a crown on or something?
You mean the yellow eyebrow?
Yeah.
No, Mom. Those are rock hoppers.
Sorry, Devin.
So for all of us that were on Love on the Spectrum, but whether a main cast member like you or a supporting cast member, there's no denying that this show has changed all of our lives in so many ways. How has Love on the Spectrum changed your life, Connor? And Lise, you're more than welcome to elaborate on this as well. And how has the show affected you personally and professionally?
Well, I feel like it's really helped me improve my social life. And I feel like lots of people now know me. I mean, back in school, I was pretty popular myself. Well, actually, lots of people passed by saying hi to me. Now that I'm famous, it honestly feels no different.
Mm-hmm. Still the same Connor that was always there.
Honestly, he really keeps the family grounded. We have obviously...
Yeah, I mean, unlike some other celebrities, I prefer to remain down to earth.
Mm-hmm.
We've obviously think some of the positive changes have been, people are very generous and kind. The gifts that are coming in, that people just want to share a gift with Connor or give Connor a gift.
Mm.
The experiences, the Georgia Aquarium has done some things. We've got a New York City trip, so stay tuned watching the social media planned next weekend. And we'll fill people in later when they see it on social media. But
nice.
The generosity of people, that's been life-changing and so wonderful. So appreciated. And then just, I think there's been a few more demands on Connor, but I think that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah.
To grow and evolve and have more to do. And just as a family, it's easy for us to get like, oh my gosh, so-and-so knows, you know, we're alive or is doing this. Connor keeps it so real. Connor may have this big interaction or something major happening, and he's just like, when do I get back to work? And he just wants to go back to his job and have his life.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
I mean, it's great that I'm famous now. It's great that I'm having my time in the sun. But sooner or later, it's time to get back into the shade.
Yep, we got bills to pay, and it doesn't come to us for free.
Nothing comes for free. That is truth.
Yeah.
I'm curious to hear about this new clothing line that you guys have started, because I know you're sporting it right now and it looks awesome. What inspired you guys to start your own clothing brand? Because this is, it's amazing that you guys were able to use your experience from the show and actually put it into clothing apparel. That's amazing. Where did you get the inspiration to start?
The inspiration was mainly from a few ideas and things I said in the show.
And I think what we were starting to see is a trend through comment threads, and it was more than not, people were saying, good Lord, Connor's the king of like the one-liners.
Yes, Connor, he is.
Connor comes right back like with his 1-2 punches. And people were saying, I say, must I write you a poem to my wife all the time? Or I say, you know, the not in the nature was just too good to like not put in there, because that was just epic with the pen click and the Xing people know. But some of this stuff now we're getting a little, we're having fun with it because we're having fun with it. But people are just really jiving. And it was really Connor's fans and the people commenting to us, letting us know that. And some of them were like, gosh, I'd wear it on a shirt if I had to. And we're like, wait, why don't we put it on a shirt?
Yes.
Why don't we?
Yes.
Yeah, why don't we do that?
Take that inspiration.
He was mad at me. It's funny, Devin, but he was really mad at me that day. Remember, he kind of wasn't in feeling it. He wasn't really in the mood, which happens. And then I was kind of peppering him. I was trying to get him to answer a question, and I didn't feel like I was getting the answer that, I don't know. I was just trying to get him to explain who was the one who was asking for the next date. I was trying to get to the bottom of her or wasn't. That was the moment. And I don't feel like I was getting a clear answer, and he just got so frustrated. Thank God Jack was there, because Jack smoothed it.
Yes.
But he was like, must I write you? I mean, but he flames me like that on a regular basis.
You know what? I'm just like that with my own mom and my own family sometimes. So I can, exactly. I relate to you on that, Connor. I relate to you on that.
But he was just, it's funny because I guess it was his polite way of saying, like, I'm frustrated with you. Stop asking me the same flipping question, you know, like, stop.
Yes.
And must I write you a poem about this? And then boom, it's epic.
Yeah. As people may not know, Connor's birthday, he shares the same birthday as St. Patrick's Day. So with that being said, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
I'm back. You up, Devin. I got you.
Wait till you guys come to LA and I do that 2 weeks late in advance, because it's going to happen. I kid you not.
Oh, we'll see you in two weeks from tomorrow.
Oh, I couldn't be more excited to finally meet you guys in person. It is so exciting. And so the last question that I have, and I hate that I'm asking this last question because I've been having so much fun with you guys on this episode. What would you like, Connor, to say to your fans that have watched your journey unfold within these past 2 months and who have been rooting for you and cheering you on from literally all parts of the world?
Thank you all for your kind support. It really means the world to me.
It really does. Yeah. I mean, it's overwhelming as a family, as a mother, to know the world is finally getting to see and know and love what we always knew was there.
And in the words of the late, great Stan Lee, enough said.
Oh, taking it from a Marvel legend himself, I couldn't agree more with that.
The father of Marvel himself.
Indeed. Please don't ever shy from coming back on. You and your mom and your family are always more than welcome to come on.
At any time.
And I think at some point you and James are going to have to meet up and talk about your sword collection. Because your sword collections are unreal.
Yeah. And I wonder, maybe instead of mining the world completely clean of all its iron deposits, maybe just make swords out of recycled steel, still strong, but not too, not rusted.
Reusable materials.
Degraded.
Oh,
is that?
Yes, that's actually a great term, Connor.
Goodness gracious! Well, there's his message.
I love.
Appreciate you having us, Devin.
Of course, it is an absolute pleasure, and I am beyond excited again that you guys are finally coming out to California. I finally get to meet you guys in person for the first time. Finally, could not be excited. So, thank you all so much for listening into this episode. If you like what you heard on this episode and you want to hear other episodes or stay tuned for future ones, be sure to like, comment, and subscribe to this podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Thank you all so much for listening to this episode. I'm Devin Morrissey, and I'll see you right here next time on Autistically Unapologetic.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Autistically Unapologetic with Devin Morrissey. If you like what you hear and you want to see more, don't forget to rate and subscribe to stay tuned for future episodes. Again, thanks for listening.